Welcome to a special all-access edition of the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm your host, my name is Zach Zimmerman. Today we're going to go through the show from Wednesday, August 16th, 2017, the go-home show for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. This was not the best go-home show that I could have hoped for. Honestly, I thought the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks have been considerably better than this, which is, you know, has been pretty good for the build to TakeOver. But with that said, this show just didn't really give me that final, like, last minute, you know, kind of super burst of excitement going into this show like it probably could have. We'll get into why in just a minute, but before that, as this is All Access, I'm going to take a minute to tell you about ProWrestling.net, not only membership, but also some of the really cool things that we have coming up that are available to everybody, All Access, including everybody listening to this. First and foremost, those are going to be some live shows. It is SummerSlam season. That means Jason Powell likes to go live, and, well, the listeners like that too. SummerSlam Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central. John Moore and Jason Powell will be getting together for a live audio show. And then on Monday after SummerSlam, before Raw, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central, Will Pruitt and Jason will be getting together, again, just to kind of recap SummerSlam and get some thoughts going into Monday Night Raw. You can go to ProWrestling.net, the main page there, and you'll find all of the info you need to get access to those shows. And hey, while you're there, check out the ProWrestling.net membership info link on the side of that page. It's going to have all the info you need, the payment plans, the timings, all that kind of stuff, to become a ProWrestling.net member. Once you sign up for membership, you get ad-free access to the website. That's the first thing you're going to notice. It's, well, nobody likes to deal with ads, so it's just all content everywhere you look. And you also get access to all of the audio content that we do every single week. I just mentioned some pretty cool all-access things that we have coming up this weekend, but for members, Jason Powell and I will be getting together to review the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 event on Saturday night. It'll be available to everybody real late Saturday, more likely early Sunday morning, but that's for members. And then, of course, .NET members get access every week to all of our audio shows, reviews of every major television show, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Impact/GFW, whatever it's going by these days. I quite frankly don't follow it. We got the Ring of Honor big shows, any major wrestling television show or big event, we have it covered on the audio side. And if you're not seeing it on the All Access side, just know that members are getting it. In addition to that, they are getting Jason Powell's weekly question and answer audio show, as well as the flagship broadcast .NET Weekly. Jason Powell and a guest of his choosing get together to discuss just all the news and events in wrestling. That's usually a great show. Sometimes it's just one of us from the site. Not just one of us, because, hey, we have some pretty good opinions too. But then other times it's somebody who's kind of been somewhere, done something in the wrestling world. Somebody like a Jim Ross, maybe, or a Dutch Mantel. So yeah, ProWrestling.net membership, it's where it's at. Go onto the main page. Obviously, you know where that is if you're listening to this. Check it out. You will not regret it. Oh, and just one more final plug. Don't forget to check out Jason Powell live on Sunday afternoon and Monday afternoon. Again, all that info on the main page. But with that out of the way, let's jump right into this episode of NXT, the go-home show for Brooklyn 3. No need to really waste a lot of time on it, quite frankly, because the show was not, you know, the things that they tried to give push to, I thought, kind of flopped, actually. And then the things that they should have been focusing on, either they didn't focus on, or they kind of put the focus in this weird way that, like, doesn't really make you excited for Saturday night. But yeah, let's jump right in. After the opening video came into full sail, they had announced that Ruby Riott versus Billie Kay would be taking place, as well as the main event of Drew McIntyre versus Roderick Strong. We had the commentary team of Mauro Ranallo, Percy Watson, Nigel McGuinness checking in from the commentary table. They briefly discussed the NXT Women's Championship match that'll take place on Saturday. While in the ring, NXT General Manager William Regal was standing by kind of the table, you know, the formal contract setup. He was there to host a contract signing and introduce the competitors. Brought out Ember Moon first, brought out Asuka second. Ember Moon cut just this unbelievably robotic promo. Like, how can somebody have been in NXT for a year, however long she has, had access to, you know, the mirror room, they call it, or whatever it is, where you can go in and practice promos and had promo classes, and still be this indie-rific on a promo? She said, "Asuka, you have beaten everyone on your path of destruction. You have beaten NXT ladies and SmackDown ladies and Raw ladies, but I am you." Oh, she said, "You have even beaten and surpassed the streak of the great Goldberg." It's like, oh my God, like, can this girl just, like, kind of, you know, be herself and not be, like, pretending to be a wrestler constantly. It was hard to watch, quite frankly. She said that the crowd chanted Asuka like they would have. Well, the crowd, yeah. After she made the Goldberg comment, the crowd chanted Asuka like they would have chanted Goldberg. Ember Moon pointed out she's the only one that Asuka had to cut corners to beat, and keep in mind that the rest of this promo that I'm going to say is considerably better than Ember Moon said it. But she said that Asuka's the only opponent that she had to cut corners to beat was Ember Moon, and that was when she shoved the ref into the ropes at TakeOver Orlando. Moon said that she, well, actually, I didn't even continue. I just wrote that it was hard to listen to. She basically said that she's going to defeat Asuka, going to end the undefeated streak, and she's going to become the next NXT Women's Champion. A very small percentage of people cheered. A slightly larger percentage of people chanted no, and a lot of people were kind of just quiet. Ember Moon signed the contract, slid it across the table. Asuka wasted no time signing it, and then she took the microphone. She just screamed an aggressive and passionate promo in Japanese, said nothing in English, looked Ember Moon dead in the eyes, held up the championship, and the segment was over. Asuka, without speaking a single word of English, got maybe a tenth of the time that Ember Moon got in the promo, and absolutely surpassed her, made her look completely Indian Bush League. And if ever there was a segment that proved to me that Ember Moon's not the one to dethrone Asuka, this was it. I mean, I don't mean to just like keep harping on it, but in the go home segment of what should be Ember Moon's, what is the biggest match of her career and what should have been legitimately the biggest, most passionate, intense, successful promo of her career, it came across like an indie wrestler practicing a promo into their iPhone. Like, it's something that they would watch back to critique themselves, and then would look back by the time they got to NXT or WWE and be like, oh my God, I can't believe those were the promos I was cutting. Like, this was bad. Anyway, the match should be all right, if nothing else. The match should be better than all right. Let me say that. The match should be pretty damn good, but just this promo just killed any enthusiasm I had to see, you know, the little enthusiasm I had to see Ember Moon win. It's gone. Asuka just needs to retain and either needs to stay undefeated or they need to give the winner of the Mae Young a shot at Asuka and maybe she'll be the one to do it. Who knows? Street Profits got a vignette and they were hyped to be in action next. But before that, we went to William Regal's office and he was talking some silliness to the camera crew, just telling some story. Lars Sullivan walked in, the big kind of Shrek-looking guy. He's been featured in some tag matches recently, and he always turns and beats up his partner. And he just timidly apologized for, I'm sorry for being bad in my recent tag matches. I promise if you give me one more match, I'll be good. It's like, oh, this guy should be a complete monster. And he was out here like whimpering and kind of begging William Regal to give him one more tag match. Why doesn't he just go into Regal's office, be like, look at me, I'm a damn monster. I'm destroying my tag partners because they're losing these tag matches that I've been winning single-handedly. Give me a singles match. Like, what's wrong with this guy? Anyway, Regal agreed, said he'll give him one more chance, and Sullivan walked off. So he came back into the arena, got the Street Profits making their entrance. And their opponents were indeed the duo of Lars Sullivan and a partner that apparently Regal had found, or somebody had found for him, Chris Silvio. Kind of looked like he was doing an indie version of a Michael P.S. Hayes gimmick, something like that. This is the first match of the show. Street Profits just squashed Silvio, did their sliding dropkick and big splash combo, did this big elaborate high five combination that was like more elaborate than most of the stuff that they do in the ring. I don't know. And then they won it with the spine buster and a frog splash in under 2 minutes. And the Street Profits celebrated and left the ring. Meanwhile, Sullivan stewed in the corner, just stood still, looked down at Silvio. He was pissed off, conflicted that he promised Regal that he'd be good, but obviously he was angry. Got into the ring and stood over Silvio and was about to walk out. Looked like he was going to attack him, kind of, but then he looked like he was going to walk out. Then he got back into the ring and hoisted Silvio over his shoulder and carried him to the back. And that looked like it was going to be it because we got a graphic advertising Ruby Riott versus Billie Kay up next. But then cameras picked up backstage and Sullivan carried Silvio out a back exit, dumped him onto the ground, rammed him hard into a bike rack outside, chokeslammed him into a dumpster, and left him in there. Mauro Ranallo, who was on commentary, just kind of justified that Sullivan had promised Regal no in-ring altercations, apparently. So he took his altercation outside. So he's apparently. Sullivan, what's his name? Lars Sullivan is still a bad guy, still a bad boy. Oh God, sorry, Joey Janela reference, and I apologize for that. Back in the arena, though, Billie Kay made her entrance. Peyton Royce was alongside, as always. We got the bit from last week where they were doing a makeup tutorial or something, and Ruby Riott walked through the background, and Kay and Royce were pissed off and made fun of her. But then it's just like, hey, if this was a pre-tape, why didn't they just retape it? Oh, well. Ruby Riott was out next and got a good reaction from the crowd. Ruby got several roll-up attempts early, just one counts on all of them. Kay caught her with a kick to the head, nice rolling elbow, then used eat defeat and stayed in control for a little while. Kay used an arm lock suplex and grounded her and grounded Riott in an arm lock. This is where Riott made her comeback, drove Kay's face into the turnbuckles. She does that thing where, like, she's in the corner, she's got her hands on the turnbuckles, grabs the opponent's head with her legs, and then drives it into the middle turnbuckle. Apparently, Nigel McGuinness called that the deadly nightshade. So, there you go. And then she got the win with an arm wringer Pele kick in about 4 minutes. Riott celebrated, made her way up the ramp. In the ring, Peyton Royce took a microphone, said that Ruby Riott's a tattooed loser who will never be iconic, but obviously Ruby Riott didn't care because she single-handedly beat both of these iconic ladies, so what does it mean to be iconic? Yeah, Riott just smiled and walked out. Peyton Royce and Billie Kay are, like, at this point, the complete geeks of the women's division. It's just kind of, I don't know, at one point it seemed like they were going to do something with this act that could have been fun, and now it's just, like, annoying undercard heel fodder. We had, Billie Kay was kind of noticeably bleeding from the nose. Not like, you know, not gushing, but there was blood. We had a graphic advertising main event coming up later in the show. Back in the arena, though, commentators ran down the TakeOver Brooklyn card, including Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas, who's going to have Zelina, what's her name? Not Zelina Gomez, Zelina something, Zelina Vega? That's it, Zelina Vega in his corner. Aleister Black versus Hideo Itami, Ember Moon versus Asuka for the Women's Championship, and Sanity challenging the Authors of Pain for the tag titles. Boy, there's going to be some decent matches here, but all in all, like, not the strongest takeover card by any means. We got an Authors of Pain vignette, and then Paul Ellering was just kind of narrating his usual stuff. The Authors were shown destroying guys, and then it showed Sanity attacking them a couple weeks ago, the ensuing brawls they've had, and then it showed the final shot being Sanity standing over the Authors from the beatdown last week. We had a graphic advertising the main event up next, and then we came back into the arena where indeed it was main event time. Roderick Strong made his entrance, Drew McIntyre was out next. Commentators reminded us of the stipulation, per William Regal, that if Roderick Strong were to win, he would win a future shot at Bobby Roode. Regardless of what happens in the match, Drew McIntyre will receive his NXT title match this Saturday in Brooklyn. This was a solid match, but this was not really about being a great match. McIntyre showed off his power advantage early, but Strong hung in there with some kicks, mainly drop kicks, early on in the match. McIntyre sent Roddy crashing into the ring post shoulder first, got the better of him for a little while, but then when they battled back into the ring, Strong lifted McIntyre on the ring apron and dropped him across it with a back suplex, backbreaker thing, just right across the edge of the ring. It was pretty rough looking. Rough, like, in a good way. Like, it was a good spot. Roddy was in control, and we came back from the final commercial break, hit another backbreaker, settled into a grounded hold, but McIntyre managed to fight out, hit a snap belly-to-belly overhead, and then the two were pretty much even. They battled back to their feet. McIntyre began to rally, hit a reverse Alabama slam for a two count around the 8 minute mark, set up for the Claymore kick in the corner, but as he charged, Roddy jumped up and met him with a knee strike, followed up with a big capture backbreaker for a two count, and then went to the top turnbuckle, but McIntyre sprung up and caught him with a headbutt. Roddy, they battled on top for a little bit. Roddy crotched Drew on the top turnbuckle and hung him up in the tree of woe. This is usually where McIntyre would do that kind of pull himself up and do that overhead, like belly-to-belly from the Tree of Woe position, but they didn't get there, because Bobby Roode jumped up onto the ring apron, and knocked Roddy off the top turnbuckle. The ref called for the bell just after the 10-minute mark, so technically Roderick Strong wins, and Roderick Strong apparently earns a future shot at, or future match with Bobby Roode. They never really have been super clear on whether it's a future NXT title match, or just a future match, future fight with Bobby Roode. But Roode put a beating on Roddy at ringside, then got into the ring, stood tall over Drew McIntyre, hit the glorious DDT, took his title, climbed the turnbuckle where Roddy was slumped on the against the barricade at ringside, and held the title up. And then he stood over McIntyre with the NXT title and declared that was glorious. Held the title over his head, the commentators gave one last plug, and we got a little video package just quickly building up the matches for the TakeOver Brooklyn show. And that was how it closed. So it was a decent little match, but it never really had the chance to get going because, well, it wasn't really meant to. This was all about finding a way to have Bobby Roode interfere, have Roddy get his future future match with Bobby Roode, and keep McIntyre relatively strong, or at least the number one contender going into Saturday. It's a little bit weird, though. Like, you'd think that in this final week, they'd want to give, like, the final major push to McIntyre and Roode. And this just kind of felt like, felt more like the focus was on Roode and Strong, even though we have a big title match coming up this Saturday. So that's why at the top of the show, when I said the things that they tried to do kind of flopped, I was referring to the Asuka Ember Moon build. And then the things that you know, also just weren't really hitting the nail on the head where they needed to was this main event segment where, yes, I get it, and I kind of like the dynamic, but in the go-home week, you know, where they really should be trying to get us excited for this title match this Saturday, it really did more to try to build up Roode and Strong, which is not going to take place until after Saturday. So I did not love the show. I definitely had my issues with it. I've really been praising the show the last 2 or 3 weeks. I thought it did a nice job of putting on compelling content and building nicely to the TakeOver event. I just thought this was kind of a regression, and that's unfortunate, but yeah, like I had mentioned, also not really the strongest show lineup going into the show on Saturday, but they do have a strong track record with these TakeOver events, so I do have some level of faith, and I'll be back to cover the show in written form, so you'll get my opinions first. You'll be the first ones to get it, obviously. Just be back at ProWrestling.net Saturday night, and you'll have to see everything I have to say. And then, of course, Sunday morning for members, Jason Powell and I will be back with audio reviews of the TakeOver event. Jason will be back Sunday afternoon with a live with John Moore to hype up the SummerSlam event, get your thoughts and give their thoughts going into it. And then he'll be back to get your thoughts and give his thoughts after SummerSlam Monday afternoon with Will Pruitt. So be sure to just be checking ProWrestling.net pretty much constantly throughout the weekend for all of the updates, and that way you can keep tabs on everything we're doing too. Thanks for listening. I'll be back this weekend. You'll be getting your fill. Take care.